Can't wait to hear the trumpet sound. Amen. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 14. If you have your Bibles this morning, Joshua chapter 14. Some of you, a familiar passage, and we preached upon this text before, but what a great passage it is. Joshua chapter 14 and verse 6. Well, we did have a good time yesterday at the at Berean down in Burleson, a church plant that our church that we are planting. And so I'm so excited to see many of you come out and help with the John and Romans. Over 3,000 John and Romans passed out yesterday. And I just want to encourage you to come out and help us again this Saturday. Just got a busy few weeks coming up. I want to encourage you just to jump in wherever you want to and get involved. And we need everybody, all of us working together as we come through this fall season. I've enjoyed having our kids back to school, haven't you? Thought I'd mention that. So those kids a while ago saying Jesus saves while the offertory was going on. Did y'all hear that? Isn't that good? I enjoy that. Enjoy our kids. Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he has said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, 85 years old. Verse 11, As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. And my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I will be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Notice he said the Lord be with him. Verse 13, And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kadesh Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Let's pray. Lord, we again thank you so much for your word. And as we look into it today, may we be blessed by what we read and by what we hear. I pray, God, today that you would open the heart of the hearer. And Lord, that open the ears of the hearer and soften the heart, God, as only you can. I pray again for your guidance of my lips and my words. Help me hide me behind the cross as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to kind of just flip back to the book of Numbers. Look back at Numbers chapter 13. We'll give a little history. And I don't want to take too much time, though I've got time. I guess football starts today and the whole crowd before me wanted to get there quicker. I don't know. I know we're moving along pretty good. And so let's very quickly just give I'm going to make this as quick as possible. We always like to do Old Testament survey at our church because the more you know, the more you'll understand the text that we're in. We understand and know that I'm going to give you the S. Some of y'all remember the S? The foundation of the world? Okay, we'll go over them again. Ready? So in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, we have the foundation of the world. God created the heavens and the earth. In Genesis chapter 2 and 3, we have the fall of mankind in Adam. Adam sinned. The Bible says, Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So we have the foundation of the world. God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 2 and 3, we have the fall of mankind in Adam. Adam sinned willfully, and therefore sin has passed on to every generation, to every mankind, all of mankind. Everybody with me? Genesis chapter 6, we have the flood of the whole earth. Man became evil, the Bible says. In fact, the Bible says his thoughts were evil only continually. And God said, I will destroy man off the face of the earth. And so God sent a flood. By the way, it was a worldwide flood. It was a universe-wide catastrophe. And God judged sin. Only 8 people escaped the wrath of God on that day, and they were in the ark. Noah, his wife, his 3 boys, and their wives. 8 souls. And 150 years later, about 150 years later, the world had again was still one language, and they were all still there together, and they began to build a tower. And the Bible said they wanted to build a tower that would reach heaven. And basically what they were doing, they were going back to their old ways, and that was of worshiping the sun and worshiping the creature more than the Creator. And God looked down again and said, here they are again, 150 years after the flood. They had already headed right back to the same direction. And God, their fragmentation of society is the F there. And therefore, He confounded the languages, and therefore they couldn't understand each other, and they split up into groups. The scholars tell us about 70 different language groups. And then they scattered throughout the entire world at that time. So from the time of the creation of the world and from the time of the fragmentation of society, and there in Genesis, that covers Genesis chapter 1 through Genesis chapter 11. In Genesis chapter 12, by the way, that covers 2,000 years. In Genesis chapter 12, we have the family of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Genesis chapter 12 through the end of the book. All right, so we have the family of Abraham. What happened with Abraham? The Bible says in Genesis chapter 12 that Abraham was called out by God, called out of the Ur of the Chaldees to go into a land which he knew not of. To go to a land called Canaan. And Abraham headed out. God promised Abraham all the soil he walked on. God promised Abraham that his seed would number as the stars in heaven and as the sand on the seashore. This is called the Abrahamic covenant. That covenant was made with Abraham by God. Genesis chapter 12. And then from there on out, the rest of the Old Testament, you basically have a history of Abraham's family. Amen? The history of Israel. Abraham, his son Isaac, his son Jacob, his son Joseph. There that 350 years between Genesis chapter 12 and the end of the book, those 350 years, you have those 4 men basically at the forefront. At the end of the book of Genesis, the children of Israel go down into Egypt because of a famine, if you'll remember. And Joseph there becomes their provider. And for 400 years, a little over 400 years, Israel is in Egypt. At the end of that 400 years, Israel begins to be in bondage. At first they were down there as guests. Then they became the Egyptian slaves. And the Egyptians put over Israel hard taskmasters. And Israel began to cry out to God for deliverance. And God heard their cries, the Bible says. And God sent them a deliverer whose name was Moses. Moses came on as deliverer, came and with the power of God upon his life, came there. And y'all know about the 10 plagues that came upon Egypt. And you can go read about it in the book of Exodus. And what a great, great triumphant victory God wrought in Egypt, a great miracle of God that He wrought in Egypt, and He brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. Over 1 million of them at that time came up out of Egypt. The Bible says there was at least 600,000 men who were 20 years old and older who could carry a weapon. So if there's 600,000 men 20 years or older, there's probably about 600,000 men 20 years and older, there are probably about 600,000 ladies. And there's a few kids put in there somewhere. This is a large crowd. We kind of get the idea when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, there was like, you know, a couple of families or whatever. But this was, you know, 1 million, possibly up to 3 million people coming up out of Egypt. And God did some great miracles, wonderful miracles for the children of Israel. He parted the Red Sea and they came through on dry ground. By the way, if He parted the Red Sea and they got over it one night, He parted the Red Sea 1 mile wide. Don't forget that. At least 1 mile wide. So it wasn't like a little tunnel that they went through, like you get the football game, you know, with the smoke going on. That wasn't it. See, I'm in football mode. Now, it was 1 mile wide. God did great miracles for them. Came through there. God provided their needs. They came to Mount Sinai. There they received the Ten Commandments. There they received the pattern for the tabernacle. And then they came to the River Jordan. They came to the River Jordan. Now remember now, Abraham's children, Joseph's group, came out of Egypt, came out of Canaan into Egypt 400 years. 400 years later, now they're back, going back into the land that God had promised them. Okay, so they're going back into the land of Canaan. Abraham went to Canaan. His family left it. They were out of it 400 years. Now, the children of Israel are going back to that land. They come to the River Jordan. And in Numbers chapter 13, they sent in 12 spies into the land to spy out the land. Numbers chapter 13, it says in verse 17, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. And he said to them, get ye up this way southward and go up into the mountain. And so they went up into the land of Canaan, and there they spied out the land. And here are the results in verse 26 of chapter 13. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. By the way, that fruit tells you up in verse 23. Look at that real quick. And they came into the brook Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. One cluster of grapes, two men had to carry it. Wouldn't you love a grape about this big around? I don't know if they didn't have seedless back then, but you know. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? You imagine them two guys coming back with that? Look what we got. Bring that up to Moses and to everybody. Said, look at the fruit of the land. Look what God has given. They brought the pomegranates and the figs. And man, they gave a glowing report of how beautiful the country was and how fruitful it was and all the things that God had provided for them there. But go look at, as we go on and read, it says, verse 27, they told him and said, we come into the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Look at the greatness of the land. Nevertheless, always got to be a but, doesn't there? The people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell in the sea, by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Love Caleb. But the man that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. In Numbers, we see Caleb 30, 45 years prior to our text this morning in Joshua chapter 14. 45 years ago, as they stand before the River Jordan about to go into the land once again, 45 years prior, they had spied out the land. They had come out and God had given them great victories coming out of the land of Egypt. And they came to the River Jordan there in Numbers and they made a choice. Their choice was not to go into the land because of their lack of faith. In fact, the Bible says that the children of Israel, the evil report of the spies, caused the heart of the children of Israel to melt, and they turned away from God's promises that He had made to them. In other words, God had promised them that land. And Caleb stilled the people and said, hey, we were well able to do it. Why? Because God promised us this land. This is our land. This is the land that Joseph and the family left 400 years earlier. This is our land 440 years later. This is our land. But the evil report won out the day. And because of lack of faith, the children of Israel did not cross over the land. I love what Caleb and Joshua said. They said, let us go up at once and possess it. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into the land and give it to us. Neither fill you the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense has departed from them. and the Lord is with us. That's Numbers 14. The Lord is with us. Caleb and Joshua said, listen, don't fear the people. The Lord is with us. The Lord is able to overcome them. Don't fear those 9-foot giants of Anak, the Anakims. Don't fear those 10-foot giants. Don't fear them. The Lord is able to give us victory today. But Israel listened to the 10 spies. They didn't accept God's promises. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. So again, the passage we read in Numbers chapter 13, the children of Israel did not cross over Jordan, and they wandered around the desert for 40 years because of their lack of faith. The Bible tells us that that generation died off except for Caleb and Joshua. And now as we read here in Joshua, Caleb and Joshua are the oldest men of the group. They're now, you know, Joshua here, Caleb, I'm sorry, is 85 years old. 85 years old. Everything. The land of promise. They come to the River Jordan once again. They cross over the River Jordan. And we don't have time again to go into everything. And let me give you the outline real quick again. Foundation of the world. God created the heavens and the earth. Again, the fall of mankind and Adam, Genesis 2 and 3. The flood of the whole earth, Genesis chapter 6. The fragmentation of society at the Tower of Babel, God confounded the languages. Genesis chapter 12, the family of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. They go down into Egypt for 400 years. Everybody still follow me? Then, after the end of the 400 years, Moses brings them up. God brings them out of Egypt. Brings them back to the River Jordan again. Because of their lack of faith, they don't enter. That's what Numbers tells us. The book of Numbers covers about 40 years. The book of Numbers tells us the children of Israel, because of their lack of faith, shirked back, and they wandered in the wilderness. They wandered in the desert for 40 years. At the end of that 40 years, we have the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy, they come to the River Jordan once again, and Moses begins to preach to them. And the book of Deuteronomy is nothing more or less than Moses preaching to the children of Israel, that new generation of people. They send some spies back into the land. They spy out the land. They go into the land. They cross over the River Jordan. God parts the waters again. And God does a miracle there. They defeat the city of Jericho. And they fight for the land. They had the flight from Egypt in Exodus. And in Joshua, we had the fight for Canaan. The fight for Canaan. And God's given them great victories. They come to this land of Hebron. This land full of the Anakims. The land of these giants. The giants that had caused the heart of the children of Israel to melt. That land was promised to Caleb by Moses. Caleb again was older, but yet the Bible says he could have had any part of the land he wanted. Right? If you're the two oldest guys in the group, you get to pick, right? He could have, couldn't he? He could have said, oh, you know what? I think I'll take that, the valley there with all the... No, that's not what he picked. That's not what he picked. He picked the high ground. He said, give me this mountain. He said, I want the mountain. He said, I want that mountain so I can show Israel what they could have had 40 years earlier. God had promised Caleb the mountain since he wholly followed the Lord. By the way, God's promises are not voided by time. God's promises are not voided by time. God makes a promise, he keeps it. He told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And lo, I'm with you always. He keeps his promises. We always need to remember God's promises, and we'll cover some of those in a moment. Caleb was number one, was a man of integrity. A man of integrity and faith. I'm going to turn back to Joshua again. Look at chapter 14. The Bible says in verse 6, and the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephthah, the Kenzanite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren went up with me, made the heart of the peoples to melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Caleb was a man of integrity and faith. He understood that God said that the land was theirs, and he believed in the promises of God. The giants of Caleb's day and our day cannot be canceled out by God's promises. In other words, they cannot cancel out God's promises. When God says in the New Testament, I'll supply all of your needs Does he mean it? Amen. Can the world economy and the American economy void that promise? No. See, the land was promised to Caleb. He understood that. And he also understood, simply because 40 years had passed, 45 years had passed, that God's promises wouldn't be made void. Is the promise that if we will train up a child in the way he should go, he will not depart from it? Is that promise still true today, even though we see great immorality all around us, and of course there's so much more going on? Is that promise made void? No. Simply because of the giants of the world, and because of the problems of the world, and because of the worldliness around us, does not void the promises of God. I just want you to understand that this morning. God's promises will always ring true. God will always come through. He will never break a promise. He has promised to supply our needs. He's promised to help us rear our kids. He's promised to do these things. And it doesn't matter what goes on in the world. God keeps His promises. Abraham and Sarah were promised a child. And even in their old age, Abraham was 100 years old. The Bible says Sarah was past the time of having children. She was in her early 90s. And yet, what happened? They had a child. God keeps His promises. It was a lack of faith that put Israel in the wilderness. And it's a lack of faith many times that holds us back. Same thing as individuals, but the same thing as a church. God always keeps His promises. And we should never allow our lack of faith to hold us back. To hold us back. We have a world to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Caleb was a man of integrity and faith. Caleb was a man who wholly followed the Lord. I love that. It says it three times in our text. It says, and Moses swore on verse 9, on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. My God. Numbers 14. We see that promise given to Caleb. He says, but my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit within him and hath wholly followed me, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Caleb wholly followed the Lord. The Bible says he followed God fully, fully. What does God say about us? Do we wholly follow the Lord? I don't know about you, but I pulled this message back out for several reasons, but one of them is because of the day in which we live. And if we're not careful, we get our eyes again downward instead of upward. We allow our circumstances and the world around us to get our heads down. I'm just here to tell you this morning, God's not dead. He's alive. Just as alive today than He's ever been. God made some promises to Caleb. He kept those promises. He kept the promises. He kept the promises because Caleb was a man of integrity. He kept his promises because Caleb was a man who wholly followed the Lord. Do we wholly follow the Lord? Is Christ our all in all? What have we allowed in this world to drag us down? Or we've allowed the things of this world to discourage us to a point at which we have allowed ourselves not to be used of God. Caleb wasn't trying to be a good spy when he came to the land. He was trying to be a good Christian. Caleb didn't die in the wilderness because he wholly followed the Lord. What I'm saying is when he went to that land, he was a man of faith, a man of integrity. He wholly followed the Lord because he knew God would keep His promises. I just want to encourage you this morning. God will keep His promises. And our job isn't to tackle some huge problem out there, to tackle some huge issue. Our job is to keep our eyes on Christ. By that I mean, be a good Christian. Rely upon the Lord. He'll direct your path. What I'm saying is, if you'll be a good Christian, you'll be a good mama. If you'll be a good Christian, you'll be a good daddy. If you'll be a good Christian, you'll be able to triumph over the Anakims, over the giants of this world, over the discouragement that you may be facing, over the obstacle that's in your way. Listen, this morning, again, God is alive and well. And if you will seek to follow Him wholly, as Caleb did, He will absolutely give you victory in your life. I'm getting way ahead of myself, but what does it mean to wholly follow the Lord? Caleb did the job that God commanded him to do. He obeyed God. Truth is never truth in light of our opinions, but according to God's Word. In other words, it doesn't matter the circumstance around you. Truth is always truth if it's from the Word of God. Caleb understood that. Caleb said, God promised us this land. Therefore, He's going to give it to us. It doesn't matter if the Anakims are there. It doesn't matter if the giants dwell in that land. It doesn't matter whether we feel as grasshoppers in their sight or so forth in our own sight. But God's promised us. He went into the land believing God, to honor God, to glorify God. But the other 10 spies didn't. The other 10 spies said, God can't. But Joshua and Caleb said, God can. Let me tell you, God can. God can. But do you believe God will? Right? I mean, in your own life, we have several in the building this morning looking for jobs. Do you understand and know that God can give you a job tomorrow? Right? But do you believe God will? God will. God will give you what He's promised to give you. God promised to supply our needs. God's promised to do these things for us. We see also that Caleb held the fall of the Lord. What does that mean? Look at there. He waited 45 years. He waited patiently until we see him in Joshua 14 about to receive his inheritance. And he said, I want that mountain. God never forgot the promise He had given to Caleb. Caleb never lost the dream. You think that for 45 years as Caleb wandered in the wilderness, he kept thinking about that mountain with those Anakims on it? He had to have. I don't know about you, but I can't remember stuff I said like 3 months ago. But at the end of 45 years, he goes to Joshua. He said, now listen, remember what Moses said. Moses said, that mountain's mine. He'd given me Hebron. He gave it to me. And Joshua said to Moses, I want that mountain. Again, Joshua, or Caleb, being the oldest, could have had any place he wanted. He could have chose the place of ease. He could have chose a place where maybe there wasn't as much enemies. He could have chose a place where maybe there wasn't giants. He wasn't having to fight 9 and 10 foot giants. He could have battled in other places, but he said, listen, God promised me that land, and I want that mountain. I want that piece of property. I want Hebron for my inheritance. He dreamed about it. He longed for it. And now he returns to it. Again, he didn't seek the place of ease. He didn't seek the place of easy service. He was 85 years old. We got a few in here up close around that. How would you like at 85 to get a sword and spear and shield and go up against 9 foot giants? 85 years old. Of course, God blessed him physically. The Bible says that at 85 years old, he was as healthy and as strong as he was when he was 40. God had supernaturally sustained him in that manner. Isn't that amazing? God gave him that ability. But he could have chose a place of easy service, but he didn't do it. He chose the high ground. He chose the place of walls and the place of fences. He chose the cities that were protected by great walls. But Caleb said, I want that mountain. He didn't sit in the pew having fulfilled his duty. He didn't sit on his doing nothing. I just think now, I'm not trying to be sarcastic. I'm saying, at age 85, if Caleb wanted to, being one of the two oldest people in the group, he could have said, listen, I've done my job. I've served my time. I'm 85. I'm done. He could have told his kids, you go out there. God's promised us that piece of property. Now you going out there and get it for us, right? I mean, you go get it. He could have told his grandkids, no doubt had many of them, Hey, you go out. God's promised that piece of property. Now you go fight, brother. Kick his kids out. Let's go. Come on. Sick them. But what does he say? I want that mountain. Listen, in God's army, there is no retirement. In God's service, there's no time of quitting. Amen? The Lord's soon to return. Looking forward to the trumpet sound, as the lady sang a moment ago. It's coming. Jesus is returning. The trumpet could sound this morning. And we're supposed to be what? We're supposed to be busy about the Father's business. We're supposed to be busy about the Father's business. We're supposed to what? The Bible says, occupy till I come. We're supposed to be busy about the business of God. We're supposed to be busy about teaching a Sunday school class, helping in children's church, knocking doors, hanging out John and Romans, building a platform. We're supposed to be busy about the Father's business, having a fall festival, having a roundup a Sunday, helping in children's church, helping in the nursery, helping usher. We're supposed to be busy about the Father's business. Listen, we got all, you know, we spend the majority of time doing our own stuff. Right? I don't know about you, but most of our time, some of you are past this point, but most of our time is spent shuffling kids around. When school starts up, here we go. It's football time, it's this and that. Here we go, right? Man, that's our time. But what are you doing for the Lord? You say, well, preacher, I put in my time of service. I've done this and I've done that. I just don't see a time in the Bible that says there's time to quit. Occupy till I come. I've used this illustration all the time, but in church, listen, we are all, the Bible, Paul speaks of, we are members of the body of Christ. Each one of us having something or something we ought to be doing in the church. We each are a finger, an eye, an ear, a hand, a leg. We're each working together to see that the job here at the church gets done and to see that the gospel goes forward. We all should be working together. I say all the time that people are either riding in the stagecoach or they're dragging the stagecoach. Right? Are you dragging? Are you helping pull the church forward? Or are you just riding the stagecoach, helping drag it down? Because basically it's two different ways. I mean, that's it. Two choices. We all should be doing something. Amen? Whew, it got quiet. We all should be doing something. And we can all get discouraged from time to time. We can all have burnout from time to time. We all can have, you know, need rest from time to time. But listen, there's no rest for the weary. Jesus is soon to return. And Caleb could have said at 85 years old, he could have said, listen, I'm done. Get my kids out there. Get my grandkids out there. They can do the job. And he could have said, listen, I'm 85. I put in my time. Give me the valley of ease. But no, he said, give me the mountain. Give me the giants. Remind some of you who may be a little older, you guys work smarter, not harder, you know? You got to teach us how to do it. I'll never forget the first real job I had, big job, was working for a carpenter. His name's Paul Payton. Some of y'all met him. And I'll just never forget. I mean, I was like 15, 16 years old, and everything I did hard. I mean, if it was picking up something, if it was a refrigerator that needed to be picked up, I just picked it up, you know? What's a dolly? I don't know what a dolly is. He'd be like, get out of my way, put the dolly up there. If there was a cabinet to be lifted, I just lifted it up. No, he had like 7 dollies. You know, everything had to be put on a dolly. You know, I learned pretty quick to work smarter, not harder. And let us all be, there's wisdom in age, and let's all be about the Father's business. He went after the giants. He knew God would be the equalizer. He knew God would give him a victory over those giants. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? And the Bible says that without Him we can do nothing. Without Him we can do nothing. Let's remember that. He is our strength. He is our buckler. He is our strong tower. He is our defense. Let's put our trust and hope in Him. Caleb was a man of conviction and believed God's inheritance shouldn't be turned over to the world. I've showed you this before, but it's been several years back, probably 7, 8 years ago. I love this particular passage. And the point here is that the mountain didn't belong to the giants. The mountain did not belong to the giants. Look at Genesis chapter 23. Maybe some of you haven't seen this before. Genesis chapter 23, verse 1. The mountain that Caleb wanted did not belong to the giants. The Bible says in Genesis 23, verse 1, and Sarah was 107 and 20 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kadesh Orba, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Verse 15. My Lord, hearken unto me. This is Abraham speaking. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is this betwixt me and thee? Bury therefore thy dead. I'm sorry. Now Abraham answers him. And Abraham hearkened unto Ephron. And Abraham weighed in Ephron the silver, which he had named in the audience of the son of Heth. 400 shekels of silver, current money with the merchants. Verse 17, Genesis 23. And the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field, the cave, which was therein, and all the trees that were in the field, that were in the borders around about, were made sure, were purchased. Unto Abraham for possession in the presence of the children of Heth, before all that went in at the gate of his city. Verse 19 now. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah, before Mamre, the same is Hebron in the land of Canaan. And the field and the cave that is therein were made sure unto Abraham for possession of a burying place by the sons of Heth. Sarah was buried there. Isaac was buried there. Abraham was buried there. Jacob's bones that they brought up out of Egypt were buried there. Before the mountain ever belonged to the giants, it was bought and paid for by Abraham. Let me tell you this morning, Jesus Christ bought and paid for you. Before you ever knew it, before you ever loved Him, it says He first loved us and gave His life for us. The Bible says we are born at enmity with God, but Jesus Christ is that great intercessor. Jesus Christ is that great go-between that brings God and man back together. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, why don't you get that settled today? Before you were ever Satan's, before you were able a part of that family, you were the Lord's. Do you know Jesus as Savior? Christian, this morning, why did Caleb want the mountain? Number one, because it caused the heart of the people of God to melt. Because it caused the heart of the people of God to melt. Because it did not belong to the giants. Let me tell you, our community does not belong to the giants. Haslett, Texas, America does not belong to the giants. Does not belong to this world. Belongs to the Lord. Bought and paid for by Him. Do you believe that? Honestly, do you? You ever get discouraged about it? You ever say, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but this is crazy. You know? You ever turn it over to Fox and just go, turn it off again, never to watch it again? It's just sometimes it just will eat you alive, doesn't it? It makes your skin crawl, it makes your heart ache. It does mine. Listen this morning. Listen. Christ has already given us the victory. We just got to go out and possess the land. You say, well, that's all figurative bunch of stuff. No, He's promised us. We are more than conquerors. He's already given us the victory. By the way, I've read the back of the book and we win. Amen? Listen, we are victorious. We're more than victorious. Caleb said, I want the mountain. Give me the place of service. Let me just encourage you this morning, workers, church members, visitors, don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Christ is soon to return, and He's given us victory. Not just victory for heaven, but victory in the battle now. Victory in the battle now. He wanted the mountain. That mountain was lost by Jacob. There was a famine in the land. The children of Israel left the land of Canaan. Let's be careful not to vacate spaces. Jacob and his family left the land of Canaan because of a famine. Today, we as Christians have allowed the giants to move into our schools. We turned over some of our churches, in fact, many of our churches, to the giants. Our marriages, our families, our children, our music, our cities, and our standards. Many have sold out holiness for worldliness. Many have turned themselves over to the giants. We need to rise up like Caleb and say, I want the mountain. We need to rise up like Caleb and say, I'll take the challenge. Not to allow the giants to defeat me. Not to allow the giants to take my family. Not to allow the giants to take our city, our schools, our church. Take the challenge of service this morning. Caleb took the mountain and gave it back to God. This particular mountain became a city of refuge. And I certainly don't have time to cover that. This became a place of refuge, a place of hope, a place for people to come to when they made a mistake, a place where people could come and get reclaimed. Caleb gave this over. We need to take the mountain this morning. What is the mountain in your life this morning? Listen, I'm done. What is the mountain in your life this morning? What has allowed or what has caused your heart to melt? Maybe something recently that's happened in your job. Maybe something recently that happened with your family. Maybe something recently that's happened here at the church. What has caused your heart to melt? What has caused you to shirk back in your Christian walk with God, in your Christian life, and in your Christian service? What has caused you to no longer take the mountain, but to take the place of ease? Maybe you've forgotten the promises of God and you're not relying wholly on Him. You're not following Him wholly. What mountain is there around you? I just want to encourage you this morning to reclaim the mountain. Reclaim it. I want the mountain. He promised it to John, Peter, the apostles, the early church, Jerusalem, and He promises to us that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's promised to be with us in the battle. I want to encourage you this morning to reclaim the promises of God. Most of you this morning, this message is mostly for Christians this morning. Reclaim it. I want to in my life as well. Reclaim the mountain. Reclaim it. Let's all stand.